Let me welcome you first to the U.S. Institute of Peace. My name is Daniel Serwer. I'm the Vice President for Peace and Stability Operations here at USIP. And I'm pleased to be able to host our guests, the National Albanian American Council from the Hope Fellowship Program, for this discussion of the hard road of transition to democracy in the Balkans. It is a hard road, but I must say there is hope, and some of the folks who are here today are the reason that there's some hope. I'm going to ask first that Cheryl Schoenberg come up and give us a quick introduction to the Hope Fellowship Program, and then we'll launch into our speakers.
Thank you, Daniel. I'd like to thank the U.S. Institute for Peace for hosting us. Again, I'm Cheryl Schoenberg. I'm the Chief of Party for the Hope Fellowship Program of the National Albanian American Council. The program is funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development, and it operates in Albania, Macedonia, Kosovo, and Montenegro. This is actually the third phase of our funding for this program, and the first time we're on a regional level. Originally had been a program we operated only in Kosovo. Just briefly, we recruit mid to high level managers from government and civil society to participate in different kinds of trainings in management, leadership, advocacy, anti-corruption, and we have a different target group for youth and provide trainings to youth. These fellows who are here today have gone through one of our training courses, perhaps in management or leadership, and separately applied to be in this program. We also have regional activities where we bring our participants from the region together for dialogue on different topics. And lastly, we have our Washington study tour. All of this is to promote leadership with a focus also particularly on women, to help the institutions and organizations that they work in to have more effective and efficient processes and management, to build leadership in the region, and to build other life and professional skills related to advocacy and individual advancement that will promote democracy in the region. Our participants generally have much more to offer than just where they come from in their workplace, and our program provides a network for them to give back to their communities. So without going on any further, that's briefly what our program is about, the Hope Fellowship Program, and I'd like to now turn it over to our fellows to talk about the hard road to transition democracy in the Balkans. Thank you.
And we'll start with Fatmira Kolchaku, who is Member of Parliament and a board member of the Women's Caucus in Pristina.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank to NAC that they give us this opportunity to be here. And I want to inform you that here I am one of member of three people who are from Kosovo here. I am here with Ms. Merita Shehu and with Mr. Hamid Cherici. I am Fatmire Mulhaja Kolchaku. I am still member of Assembly of Kosovo till 5 December, I think. Even we have had election of 17 November, so we are still in waiting of a definitely result of this election process. But we are waiting now for this. So in the beginning, I want to give you some facts about Kosovo. Kosovo has 10,980 square kilometers and is in southeast of Europe. The capital is Pristina. We have seven regions, 30 municipalities, 2,100,000 inhabitants. We are, as you know, under UN administration now. 63% of the population are young, are under 30 years old. 5% of population are over 65 years old. and 45% of population live in urban area, or 68% of rural population use water from wells. This is some kind of information to you about Kosovo. As you know, we have some kind of history of the crisis. We are now in process of defining of our status. We have negotiation process, as you know, with Troika, but still we see that some kind of agreement, still we didn't see that will happen in the end of this process of negotiation, but we must wait 10 of December when this negotiation process, we suppose it will be finished. I will give you some information about history of the crisis. Following the NATO airstrikes that began in March 1999 and Milosevic June capitulation, Kosovo became a UN protectorate under the UN mission in Kosovo. With UN Secretary Council Resolution 1244 in 1999, from April 2002, UNMIC followed the policy of standards before status in order to defer pressure with the Kosovo for independence. This policy was brought to life with the engagement of the contact group in 2003 and its announcement that the review of final status could begin May 2005 if Kosovo's fledgling institution met benchmarks of good governance and inter-ethnic accommodation. In October 2005, UN Special Envoy Kai Eide concluded that there was nothing to gain from further delay, and the Secretary General appointed former President of Finland, Martti Ahtisaari, to lead the settlement effort. From February 2006 through September, Ahtisaari office, UNOSEC, engaged the negotiation team of Kosovo and Serbia in several rounds of direct talks in Vienna and mounted a number of exit missions to both capitals. After the significant delay to allow for Serbia 21st January 2007 election, Ahtisaari presented his draft comprehensive proposal to both Belgrade and Pristina on 2nd February. After additional meetings with the two sides in Vienna, the UNOSEC states negotiations were formally closed on 10 March. Ahtisaari declared the talks exhausted, stating that additional efforts would not bring the sides closer to a compromise and that a sustainable solution of Kosovo status is urgently needed. As Assembly of Kosovo, I think doing the biggest compromise, because we adopt the Martti Ahtisaari plan and we think that this is for the moment the best solution. Even we know that negotiation continues and now we still don't know that this plan really can be in reality started. But we as Assembly adopted this plan, and I will give you some executive summary about this settlement. The aim of the comprehensive proposal for the Kosovo status settlement is to define the provision necessary for a future Kosovo that is viable, sustainable, and stable. It includes detailed measures to ensure the promotion and protection of the rights of communities and their members, the effective decentralization of government, and the preservation and protection of cultural and religious heritage. In addition, the settlement prescribed constitutional, economic, and security provisions, all of which are aimed at contribution to the development of multi-ethnic, democratic, and prosperous Kosovo. An important element of the settlement is the mandate provided for a future international civilian and military presence in Kosovo to supervise implementation of the settlement and assist the competent Kosovo authorities in ensuring peace and stability throughout Kosovo. The provision of the settlement will take precedence over all other legal provision in Kosovo. The settlement consists of a main body with 14 articles that form its key principles and 12 annexes which elaborate upon these principles. Kosovo shall be a multi-ethnic society, governing itself democratically and with full respect for the rule of law, the highest level of internationally recognized human rights and fundamental freedoms, and which promotes the peaceful and prosperous existence of all its inhabitants. Kosovo shall adopt a constitution to enshrine such principles. While the settlement does not prescribe a complete constitution, it defines key elements that must form part of the constitution. Normally, people of Kosovo can prescribe this constitution. And the reason why we adopted this plan is normally all of this because we really believe that Kosovo must be like this, like all of this we see in this settlement. Kosovo shall have the right to negotiate and conclude international agreements, including the right to seek membership in international organizations. This is very important for people of Kosovo. The protection and promotion of the rights of members of communities is also very important, is a central element of the settlement. The settlement addresses key aspects to be protected, including culture, language, education, and symbols. It also provides for specific representation mechanism for Kosovo non-Albanian community. Members in key public institutions to safeguard and encourage their effective and active participation in public life. To protect the right of Kosovo non-Albanian communities in the legislative process, the settlement also provides that certain enumerated laws may only be enacted if a majority of the Kosovo non-Albanian members of the Kosovo Assembly agree to their adoption. The settlement also provides a wide-ranging decentralization proposal, which is extensive in scope and intent to promote good governance, transparency, and effectiveness in public service. We think the decentralization must happen like this, not in ethnic basis, but really to decentralize the poverty in the all levels. The proposals focus in particular on the specific needs and concerns of the Kosovo Serb community, which will have a high degree of control over its own affairs. The decentralization elements include inter alia new municipal competences for Kosovo Serb majority municipalities, extensive municipal autonomy in financial matters, including the ability to accept transparent funding and such other things. The settlement also provides for a justice system in Kosovo that is integrated, independent, professional, and impartial. We think that this is maybe also very, very important. This is also a very important moment, ensuring access of all persons in Kosovo to justice. It also provides for mechanisms to ensure that the justice system is inclusive, and that is judiciary and prosecution service reflect the multi-ethnic character of Kosovo. The provision on the protection and promotion of religious and cultural heritage also. All refugees and internally displaced persons from Kosovo will have the right to return and reclaim their property and personal possessions. The settlement also calls upon Kosovo and Serbia to cooperate fully with the International Commission to Red Cross to resolve the fate of missing persons, because we still have the big number of missing people in Kosovo, and all their family needs to know their face, to know where are their members of their families. The settlement includes specific provision designed to promote and safeguard the sustainable economic development in Kosovo. As you know, we are now a very poor country with very high level of poor people. And so maybe if without a sustainable economic development, we didn't have future, even we define our status, because we know that one day we wake up in independent Kosovo, but if something not changed, we didn't have future. So maybe this is also very, very important. Normally, we need also help of our international community, because we start this process with international community, and we want to finish this process with the great help of international community, and especially I want to say with USA, as you feel you like great friend, and you are in our heart, believe me, in all people in Kosovo. So The settlement also provides for the professional, multi-ethnic and democratic Kosovo security sector. This is also important. Encouraging significant local ownership in its development while retaining a level of international oversight necessary for the ultimate success in the sensitive area. The Kosovo police force will have a unified chain of command throughout Kosovo with local police officers, reflecting the ethnic composition of the municipality in which they serve. In Kosovo Serb majority municipalities, the municipal assembly will have enhanced competencies in the selection of the local station commander. A new professional and multi-ethnic Kosovo security force will be established within 1 year. We hope this will really happen. It will have a maximum of 2,500 active members and 800 reserve members. The settlement stipulates that the current Kosovo Protection Corps will be disbanded within 1 year. Recognize that fulfilling Kosovo responsibilities under the settlement will require a wide range of complex and difficult activities. The settlement provides for a future international presence to supervise and support the relevant efforts of Kosovo's authorities. This presence consists of three principal components: the international civilian representative, a European security and defense policy, and international military presence. I think the people of Kosovo needs to be to feel that we are at our home and we are responsible for our own future. But also, I say before, with your presence from the beginning, because, for example, KFOR, we feel like some kind of we sleep good if we know the KFOR is there. So this is also for the moment important because we still need time to establish our army force there. Normally, as NATO lead, international military presence will provide a safe and secure environment throughout Kosovo in conjunction with the ICR and in support of Kosovo institutions until such time as those institutions are capable of assuming the full range of security responsibilities. The OSCE, with the extensive field presence in Kosovo, will be requested to assist in the monitoring necessary for successful implementation of this settlement. I inform you that this month, on 17 November, we had election. And as Javier Solana says that welcomes the fact that the election to Kosovo's parliament were conducted in line with the international standards. So now we have only preliminary results, and I want to inform you that according to the preliminary results, for two-thirds of county votes, the opposition Democratic Party of Kosovo, a former Kosovo Liberation Army leader, Hashim Thaci, leads with 35% over the ruling Moderate Democratic League of Kosovo, which has so far only 22%. We also have other preliminary results for other party. My political party, which is called ORA. Now the news is that we can be also a member of new parliament, approximately 6 or 7 members. So we are not such a big political party. We was in opposition in this mandate, and we hope that we can build very democratic country because we wants to Kosovo to be democratic and to give all people in Kosovo to live in peace and to have their future there. But also we need your help. So thank you for opportunity today to talk and to be here with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatmira. We'll get to some questions later. We'll move now to Zemaida Mosali. I should have said Zemaida Mosali is head of the Foreign Relations Office, Municipality of Skodra, Albania.
Thank you very much, Mr. Daniel. Thank you very much to everybody who is here to listen to us. I would like to thank, as my friend did, NAC for giving us the possibility to be here in front of you to say some words about our countries, because maybe you have heard something, maybe not. I'll try to be short and to show or just to make a short picture of the countries where I come, of the country where I come from, Albania. Albania is a small country in the heart of Europe. If I mention in the heart of Europe, in the Balkans, that means that only geographically speaking, because formally or institutionally speaking, we are not yet part of Europe. Actually, we are going, we are working very hard to become part of Euro-Atlantic organizations and structures. But maybe I have to repeat these words at the end because I want to finish my presentation in an optimistic way. Before going to my last words, I would like to explain you that until, first of all, some data about Albania. The land area, 28,000 square kilometers. The population is 3.5 approximately million inhabitants. Form of government, parliamentary republic. Capital, Tirana. Official language, Albanian. The three religions, Muslim, Christian, or Catholic, and Orthodox, always living in peace and harmony with each other. A good point for Albanians. Per capita GDP, $4.9, one of the lowest in Europe. Transition. We have been requested to say to speak about social situation in the transition years. Until 1990s, Albania has passed or has past 50 years period of communist under communist regime, very difficult one. In 1990s, as the whole region, Albania under or how to say had or passed from communist regime to transition period. We used to call this transition period a difficult, a delicate, sometimes never-ended transition, because, honestly speaking, it's very difficult for us. Albania has tried to make progress, to make changes, to make reforms, but still, social situation is difficult. I have tried to put, or just to mention some of social indicators or situation, starting from demographic movements. Until 1990s was beyond belief to think of any immigration. But after that time, Albanians started to think and to try. So, for the moment, immigration, not only Albanians have immigrated, but we can say that too many Albanians live abroad. More than 50% live in Greece, because Greece is our neighboring country. Italy is still another neighboring country. And 16% live in USA and other European countries. Besides immigration, migration, which was strictly controlled until 1990s, after that time, the migration started. The population started to move from north to the center, and now more than 34% of population has come from north to the center of Albania. And the capital of Albania has become, we call it, metropole. Actually, there is lack of official policies to control this migration. And these demographic movements might be considered either positive or negative. They have positive effects because of remittances of immigrants who live abroad. And for our economy, these remittances are very important. But on the other hand, we miss these persons who have left Albania, as you call brain drain. We miss their contribution to our very hard work, as I said, to build democracy. And these demographic movements have created social problems. Continuing with family problems, the family in Albania has always been considered a strong, solid, and traditional family. After 1990s, the situation has changed, even according to the family. Actually, there are no such strong, with strong rules, families. Unfortunately, there has been increased the number of so-called one-parent families because it has been increased the number of divorces. The index for divorces on 100 marriages increased from 9.2% in 1990s to 14.2% after 2000. This is allowed or much more possible, especially with the new family code, which gives the equal rights to women, men and women in the same family. There are also the so-called fake families, 3 to 2 times bigger than divorced ones. Another social problem, education. Mr. Daniel introduced me as representative of Shkodra municipality. Actually, I'm also a teacher at Shkodra University, so I like to speak about education in Albania because it's my heart. Academia is a very loved thing for me, or sphere for me. Education in Albania, I would like to see in a very positive way. The number of students enrolled in our universities in the recent years has been increased. Not only in public universities, the number of private university is increasing in a very rapid speed. The government is trying to be careful in the quality of curricula and teaching process. Although it is very important to keep especially the open eyes according to the corruption, which we mention, and still there are too many interrogative points in this issue. Well, in 2003, one point which is very important for us, Albania has undersigned Bologna Declaration. Bologna Declaration has to do with HEAL, which means high education academic level, and we are trying to qualify for European standards as far as education process is concerned. Social insurance. As the rest of social situation, this is a very weak point for our fragile democracy, because the Social Insurance Institute directly manages the social situation, and the social insurance system in Albania faces many problems, not the least of which is an extremely high contribution rate, among the highest in Western Europe. I want to mention only one data here, the number of treated families from 1995 to 2005 is 180,000 families, which means that a great number of families are treated under the social insurance system and social protection. Employment. Employment rate, they say that unemployment in Albania is lower than in many neighboring countries, but it still remains high. In my handouts, I have distributed to you, there is a scheme where you can see the employment situation in the years, in the recent years. Actually, there is a decrease from 1994 to 2001, but then the situation remains almost the same, which means that there is not any big difference from year to year in employment situation or employment rates. Actually, the number of employed people in the public sector is decreased. The numbers show that the difference between, here we come to the difference in gender, the difference in level of employment between men and women is a very high difference. We are sorry to say that there is a big difference between employment of women compared to that of men, although the new family code has been adopted on January 2004, there is still inequality in employment between these two genders. Last but very important, youth. I want to identify the youth in Albania as a youth educated one, since I mentioned university, and the increased number of students who are being enrolled in our universities, but unfortunately there are too many young men and women and youngsters who are at the risk of drugs, who are victims of drugs, because in the last years the number of drug users has been increased, and there are young men at risk of criminal behavior, also young women at risk of prostitution. I want to, just for curiosity, to close with the so-called blood feud and vengeance. This is a phenomenon which still exists in Albania. I don't know if any of you might have heard about this phenomenon, which was born and developed in the ancient times in the tribal system as a result of the living and the defense in community, when the state was absent, and it was a means to protect the man's life. This phenomena exists still now, and it will take to stop the factors that stimulate it. It's a difficult phenomenon, which exists especially in northern Albania, where I come from, because I come from Shkodra, which is situated in northern Albania. It creates not only economic but social problems not only for my city but for the whole northern Albania. But as I mentioned in the beginning, I would like to finish in an optimistic way, saying that despite the too many difficulties, or as we used to call challenges, we have to face. To pass from a very centralized Albania to a democratic one. Despite that, we are doing well. We like to say that we are doing some progress. In 2006, Albania has signed an association process with the European Union. We hope soon to become members soon. It depends, in fact. But we hope one day we will become members of European Union. We hope to become members of NATO. So we are doing hard, and we hope to have positive future on the ground. Thank you very much for your interest.
Thank you, Zemaida. For some of us who've seen Tirana before it became a metropole, it's quite an idea that it's a metropole today. Anna Nikolovska is operations manager of EOS Matrix from Skopje and will be our last speaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I am a representative of the Macedonian group, which consists of Bojan Ristovski, which is over there, and Nina Geštakovska, who is over there. We as a group were assigned to prepare presentation upon economic transformation of Macedonia. Macedonia, for those who do not know, is a small country in the middle of Balkans in Europe. I was told that I have 10 minutes to talk about economic transformation. I'm master in economics, and it is a little bit difficult for me to speak in short period of in such a short period of time about such complex and difficult subject. However, I will try to be as brief as possible. In the first part, I will speak about economic system while Macedonia was a constituted part of former Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. The second part will cover the fields where reform and structural changes have been overtaken during the past years. And the third part will cover the transitional arrangements we have managed to accomplish so far. So, Macedonia used to be constituted part of former Yugoslavia, and during that period the country lived the system which was pretty unique and different from administrative systems that other communist countries had at that time. The market and worker self-management were the main elements of the system. Besides those two elements, the system was characterized with social ownership of the production factors. That means that production factors were owned by no one and by everyone, or by the society as a whole. Another characteristic was that we have market, but we do not, but we did not have integrated market. So we did not have labor market, we did not have capital market, we did not have money market. Labor workers joined their labor, and by joining their labor, they were forming organizations of joint labor, and organizations of joint labor were actually the milestones of institutional structure of the system. There was indicative planning, that means that the location of production capacities, the reallocation of all other production resources were planned on central level. There was sociable contracting among institutions and organizations, and there were many political measures by which the economic growth were directed towards the goals the society as a whole wanted to reach. However, this system produced many problems and many contradictions on the consumption side, on the production side, in the interactions among the institutions and the organization. So at the beginning of 90s, the system collapsed totally, and the country as a whole broke down. Macedonia came up as one of the republics which voted independence in 1991. Since 1991, Macedonia started accelerated process of economic transformation, and today we can be proud to be the fourth best reformatory state among 178 countries in the world, according to the last World Bank report, Doing Business 2006. At the beginning of 90s, Macedonia had many problems. It had very low development rate, simultaneous existence of a high level of unemployment and overemployment, very low level of capital accumulation, political instability in the country and in the region. So the path that Macedonia needed to pass was very difficult and complex. However, at the very beginning, it was decided that the concept of worker self-management will be left, that indicative planning will be left, that the process of privatization will start, that the process of integration of the country within the region and the world will start, that labor market will be introduced, capital market, money market, etc., etc., in order Macedonia to become not developing but developed countries according to the principles of all Western European countries. So many actions were taken in order to all these things to be provided. Let's start from liberalization. The market was liberalized, all prices controls were lifted, and Macedonia became a small open economy. Macedonia introduced its own local currency, Macedonian denar. At the beginning, the foreign exchange rate was and is still fixed. At the beginning, it was fixed to German marks. Now, it is fixed to euro. As I said, liberalization provided to Macedonia to become a small open economy. At the same time, process of privatization started. The process of privatization, to be honest, provided benefits mostly for those who work in those big socially owned enterprises. It was model called management buyout or employers buyout privatization model, by which employers or management became owners of the big enterprises or big socially owned organizations and institutions. Parallel to the process of privatization of big companies, development of small and medium-sized enterprises started as well. So today, the main driving force of the economy actually are small and medium-sized enterprises. There have been and there are still many programs founded by international institutions and international donors which try to strengthen the capacities of state institutions to help the development of SMEs. At the same time, banking sector was subject of reforms. In the previous system, banks were owned by socially owned enterprises, but also the process of privatization was done through banks as well. So today we have banks that are privatized, and the banking system is organized in a such a way that the banks still have the main role in the economy, and other financial institutions such as leasing companies, factoring companies, investment funds are still non-existent on the market or in the infant phase of development. Parallel to the process of privatization, liberalization, reconstruction, Macedonia was doing many activities on the field of integration. It has signed many bilateral contracts for free trade and three multilateral contracts which provided Macedonia to access to 650 million consumers in EU together with Turkey and Ukraine. Macedonia is a member of World Trade Organization, and starting from 1995 it has candidate status for EU integration. Well, as I said, I mean, there are so many things to be said about economic transformation and all structural changes that have been overtaken during the past period. Maybe I should mention foreign direct investments because they are so important for the country. Unfortunately, we are the country with the lowest foreign investment rate. But in the very last period, the government overtaken measures in order to boost the and to attract foreign direct investment in the country. And particularly because of those overtaken measures, we have been awarded as fourth best reformatory country among 178. So we hope that in the next period, those foreign direct investments will come. The process of transition is still ongoing. Many activities were overtaken. The process was done by the according to Big Bang strategy or strategy of shock therapy, and this strategy was selected by the influence of the World Bank and the Monetary and the International Monetary Fund. However, we still cope with many problems like trade deficit, unemployment, inefficiency, low investment rate, high level of corruption. Today on a daily agenda, we have many criminal affairs and so-called national misunderstandings. However, we hope that political consensus and mutual understanding will further trace the ongoing process of transition towards structural changes of the society for better standards of living of all Macedonian inhabitants. That will be what I wanted to say, but if you have additional questions, we will be here as a group to answer to all of your questions. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Anna. Zimaida has asked my leave to just mention the names of her colleagues. Please.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Daniel. I have forgotten to mention the name of my colleague. She is Eris Bejo. She is the director of Urban Department in Municipality of Leja. Thank you very much again.
Well, I think I might start the questioning by noting that the menu of issues you've dealt with is dramatically different from what we normally deal with at the U.S. Institute of Peace. We're all about conflict. And it is gratifying, to say the least, that though some of what you've had to say is related to past conflict issues, an awful lot of what you've had to say is really are the transition problems that any country coming out of a communist regime would face. That said, we can't help but note that December 10th is approaching. The contact group will report through its three representatives to the Secretary General. The Secretary General will have to say something to the UN Security Council. I suspect maybe not immediately, but sometime thereafter. And we're in the end game of the Kosovo status decision, which itself is the end game of a long process of dissolution of former Yugoslavia that might be said to prejudge the outcome, but I think that is my perspective, that it is part of that process. And I guess the question I have for you is there a potential for conflict as this process reaches an end, and what can best be done to prevent conflict over the next couple of months? And I suppose, Fatmira, that question has to go to you first and foremost, but I think your colleagues will also want to contribute. You can stay there, I think, because the camera is moving around already.
only what I have to say, that we didn't expect that the conflict will happen in Kosovo. We still think that the independence of Kosovo is the best solution for peace in Balkan region. So as I mentioned, from the beginning, we was in this process with the international community. Our unity group are in very close cooperation with international community. So we think together with the international community we can avoid any kind of conflicts in region. And I think also people in Serbia must to understand the reality what happened from 1999 and after, reality that what happened during Milosevic's apartheid system that time. And I think that government in Serbia must start to change, to send some kind of, like in this election process, they didn't give chance people in Serbian people in Kosovo to vote and to be part of election process. So we think that together with the international community, we can do this process we can send this process to the end and in peace and to build one democratic society in Kosovo when we have to live together with all other communities in Kosovo.
Anna, I'm tempted to turn to you next because Macedonia is often said to be at risk.
Risk from which point of view?
From the point of view of from the decision on Kosovo status.
This is a very tricky question, and I wanted to ask that question today when we visited State Department. And we received a very diplomatic answer on that question, and I will repeat the answer, that there is no 100% guarantee, but we hope that everything will be okay and that people are completely aware what's going on, aware of the reality, and that we will focus on more important things, that is economic development of all countries in the region for better standards of living of all of us, not to nationality, not to regional differences among us, but to become part of European Union and as I said, to live better.
Semayida, do you want to comment on the risks of, let us say, Greater Albania?
No, Semayida, actually would like to say only one sentence. As always, Albania has and continues and will always respect the will of Kosovars as far as the independent status is concerned.
Thank you. The floor is open. I've had my chance to provoke people. I haven't succeeded terribly well, but please. Now, introduce yourself.
I'm Don Kirsch. I'm a retired diplomat. I'm now with the Institute for Defense Analysis. I was former head of deputy head of stability factor of Southeast Europe. So it is interesting to see how you've come along. What I wanted to ask you about is so much is projected of your future, economic health and social integration with Europe is projected on the basis of eventual EU membership. As this gets pushed further and further off into the future, as it appears to be doing, how does this affect your own plans? What alternatives do you have? How critical is early EU membership to your own economic, to the economic and social health of your future society? And what alternatives do you have?
Anna, I think of you because Macedonia's been on the at the front of the queue already for a long time.
Well, as I mentioned, starting from 1995, we have candidate status for EU integration, but to be realistic, we do not expect that until 2012 we will become a member of EU, because there are still many challenges that need to be tackled in the forthcoming period, particularly challenges related to corruption and independence of legal system, and also many reforms related to economic development should be overtaken as well. So, as I said, till 2012 we do not expect to become a member of EU.
In the meanwhile, is the prospect helping to move Macedonia forward?
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, that we would like that to happen earlier, before 2012. And I think that the present government is very active, and particularly, let's take measures that they overtook in the field of attracting foreign direct investments. And we believe that in the forthcoming period, many investors will come and help us to boost the economic development and to create capital accumulation, which is so important for the economic growth, because Macedonia is still very import-oriented country. And still, consumption is higher than the production. That's why we have problems with trade deficit and with country indebtedness.
Semaida?
Actually, I think that European integration is very important for a country like Albania. But we should know that Albania, just for clarification, as Albania has the status of a potential candidate, this integration is very important for us, but we know that that is not the end of our hard work. It's the finalization of our hard work, but it's the first step towards a long and difficult other way. We have to know that it's not the EU which will bring economic development and democracy in Albania. There should be us to work very hard to qualify for these European standards. And we have to keep this in our mind.
Fatmira?
As you know, we are now in process of defining our status, but I must have told you that we have very positive energy. Even we are the most population, our Muslim population in Kosovo, but we all of us want to be a member of EU, Europe. So to become a member of Europe and to be part of Europe integration, I want to tell you one example. All laws that are adopted in Assembly of Kosovo are coordinated with EU legislation. So from the now we think about our future, and we want to be in this process, don't to change after our law. So from now we think and we see our future together with all our countries and without border. So this is also a good opportunity for future, for Kosovo people, Serbia, Macedonia, and all of us in region to know that border is not such important, because we see our country member of Europe Union, and our future is there. So I think that people in Kosovo and Serbia and other countries in region must know that we must see in future and to have positive energy.
I think you had a question. People should indicate if they have questions. I see one back there. I see one here. Please, go ahead.
Robert Kelly, I'm retired from the Federal Service. My question is to Ms. Pekoloska. I believe you used the term national misunderstanding, and that indicates some kind of conflict. So I was wondering if you could expand on what are the facets of this national misunderstanding.
We still, I assume that you know that in the past we had problems related to national, at that time it was not national misunderstandings, it was almost civil war in the country, misunderstandings among Macedonians and Albanians, and we managed to overcome all those activities with the help of the international institutions and organizations. At this point of time, we do not have such kind of problems. We are not in front of civil war, because Albanians are fully integrated in all systems, in political system, in economical system, in legal system everywhere, because everything is according to Ohrid agreement, which was signed with the presence of international community. Still, Albanians among themselves, Albanians parties among themselves have problems, and now that Albanian party which is within the government has problem with another Albanian party which is not within the government. And when I was talking nation, and because of their misunderstandings, the other Albanian party do not want to participate in the parliament and vote for any changes in the legislation system. And we need international organizations again in order to smooth discussions among those Albanian parties and in order to persuade them to participate actively in the process of harmonization of legislation. I don't know, maybe Bojan, you want to add something more. Okay.
I might just add that it's remarkable and interesting to me that Macedonia has now alternated parties in power several times. I'm not sure I'll get it right if I say how many times, but it's three or four, something like that. Each time quite successfully, each time with an Albanian party part of the majority. It's really quite remarkable. Please.
Good afternoon. I'm Joe Foley. I perform government relations here in Washington, and I want to thank the panelists for coming all the way to USIP and speaking to us today. Economic presentations were very helpful. I want to thank you. And corruption was addressed for once, too. I appreciate it. With respect to EU membership, too. I've noticed in Bosnia and Herzegovina there's been a pattern of taking very large companies that were jointly owned by shareholders, many who worked in these companies, and the taking of the shareholders and the state's interest, sometimes up 54, 46% or whatnot, and not resolving the ownership shareholder interest. The parceling out of these companies happens to favored participants. These actions under the ruse of privatization are also known in the West as expropriations. I was wondering, and in that regard, in Bosnia, you're talking about Agro Commerce Corporation, Aluminum Mostar, and American Tobacco of Sarajevo. Is this the experience in your nation state? Would you like to comment on certain types of privatization and how they're going in other parts of the Balkans?
More or less the same as in Bosnia. I must admit that the process of privatization in Macedonia was a little bit controversial. Maybe not a little, but it was controversial. And the biggest companies were privatized according to the model management buyout or employee buyout. And as you said, managers and employers have advantages in the process of privatization because firstly they were asked to purchase the company. Very often, I mean, it was frequent case, particularly when the company was successful, that the managers pressed the employers not to sell their shares to insiders, but to sell their shares to managers. So, again, we have enterprises with the same structure of employees and managers, and the question is, do we have successful privatization if we have same managers and same employers, if we did not address management skills, if we did not address human resource necessities of those enterprises. So big organizations mostly were privatized like that. But there was some small companies which were privatized on auctions, and public companies like telecommunication and company for electricity supplies, they were privatized by organizing public tender on local and on international level. So privatization was a mixture, but mostly managers, employees of those organizations benefited from it.
And the resolution for the shareholders went about appropriately. They didn't string it out and parcel the company out to favorite sons and daughters around the nation state. Jury's still out on that?
Well, the privatization process is done. And that's it. It is done, and that's it. We couldn't do anything about it because, firstly, we do not want to return to that. Privatization is done, and okay, there are some, governments when they change, they try to explore how the privatization was done related to some companies, but after a few months, nothing happened. And that's why I'm saying privatization is done, and it's better to move forward than to go backwards.
Zemenita, did you want to comment on this in Albania?
Well, I guess that more or less we share the same situation in Albania as far as privatization is concerned.
Fatmira, the situation in Kosovo is really different, isn't it?
The situation with privatization in Kosovo is also related with status. We have many companies are privatized, but all money collected from privatization are managed out of Kosovo. So we see this like a big problem because we need this money to collect and to use in Kosovo because many problems, as you know. But still, we without define of our status, this privatization will continue in this way.
Let me take two, and we'll finish up with the one, please.
Varda Dari, Albanian Service, Voice of America. I had a question going back to the answer that you gave before. You said that the issues among the Macedonians and Albanians in Macedonia have been resolved and that the Albanians have fully integrated right now. And you said that the problem now resides among the Albanian parties. So what is your comment with regard to the issue that you recently had with the decision of the High Court about the use of the Albanian flag in Macedonia and also the use of the Albanian language in the parliament?
Let me take another one at the same time.
Pete Lyon with USIP. This is for Zemaida and whoever else would like to comment. I was interested in your thoughts and your comments on the legal status of Albanian immigrants in neighboring EU countries such as Greece and Italy and further afield such as in the UK. Thank you.
Let's take those. Anna?
First of all, I'm an economist. I'm not a diplomat. I'm not a politician. So I really do not want to interfere with political issues in my country. And I do not want to answer to your question because it will be personal answer. It won't be answer of an expert or answer of someone who is completely involved in those issues. And about the second question, sir, could you repeat it again?
No, it was primarily directed at your
okay,
your
thank
colleague.
You.
Zemaida, on the question of status of Albanian.
I wouldn't like to start my answer repeating my colleague to say that I'm not a legal expert, but as far as I am informed, according to the status of immigrants in Italy, in Greece, in other parts of Europe, I would I don't know where you are especially interested.
Primarily Greece.
Primarily Greece.
Yeah.
Albania is trying to use the language of diplomacy and a good neighboring politics as far as
with our neighbors, with Greece, especially considering that there are at least 500,000 Albanians that work in Greece. And considering that Albania is very interested to have good neighboring relations with our neighboring countries or in the region, we think that these two things go in parallel, how to say, the situation of our immigrants there and the good relations with our neighboring countries. So Albanian government is very careful in this point to try to be careful or to try to care about the situation of immigrants and to keep good relations with our neighboring countries.
Fatmira, did you want to comment on the status of Kosovars?
I think that I mentioned many things in my presentation
okay.
about
minorities. Please.
Yes. David Scotton with the National Albanian American Council. We're the host organization for these wonderful fellows from the Kosovo of Albania and Macedonia. We heard from Fatmira and Zemaida and Anna, but we haven't heard from Eris, Nina, Marita, Hamid, and Boha, who came late. And I was just wondering if, with your permission, Daniel, if they had anything that they would like to add. They're very successful in their own fields, an urban planner, somebody from the private sector who owns a business in Macedonia, and a medical doctor from Kosovo who is in the public health sector, and the Kosovo equivalent of the Office of Personnel Management, KIPA, Hamid. So if you would like to add anything.
Please.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. Should be.
Yeah. I just want to add something about the last election which we had in Kosovo, because Fatmira talked about this, but just a few data for this. As we know, we had the election before in Kosovo, and the previous election. Now, the last election, we had a different way of running of this election. So we had Kosovo as one zone of election, and we had an open list of candidates. So the Kosovars had the opportunity to select their own candidates to represent the municipalities in the Kosovo parliament. Also, they had the opportunity within the municipality to represent their own village, or how to say, in the municipality assembly. The election was organized in the very short term, so they were organized by the Central Election Commission, which is it's a local organization, and the OSC, which is an international organization. For this short election, short time of organization of this election, we had such a number of observation, international observation, also the local observation, which after the first preliminary results, the report, their feedbacks about this election. So they somehow appointed a good mark for this election. I want also something else to add for this, that now to be the member to have a status of the parliament party, you need to pass 5% of votes. So you need to have 5% of votes to be a member of parliament. So this is the new things in the Kosovo election. And I think this is the good way that in the parliament we will have maybe six or seven parties, so the parliament will be much more efficient to work for implementing different standards of of from different organizations and to bring new laws there. So I think it should be much more efficient than it was before.
Thank you. Yeah. Others? We have one last question.
Yeah, my name is Fabio Gil. I'm from George Washington University, a visiting researcher. I'd like to ask the panel that what is their agenda in regard to the economic part of the old countries? Do they have a kind of agenda that's showing, instead of a big Albania or a big Macedonia or a big Serbia, a big Balkan? So I would like to emphasize the thing that the Sir just said, that how you have been affected from European Union reforms. Don't you think that you have just cut copy the laws without having regard of this this problem? This is the second question.
Thank you. So two questions. Are you thinking in broader geographic terms about the future of your economies, and
do they have any agenda?
And how much are you really absorbing what the Europeans love to call the acquis? Please let me go back in reverse order through the speakers. Fatmira first.
About laws, I said we try to coordinate our laws with EU legislation because we think that this is most important for our country and for our future. We have our economic agenda, but normally the most important thing for us is to define our process because everything is related because of this question. So this is the most important for our people. We all of us know that life is must to continue, but we think that we deserve to be equal with all people around the world and to have equal rights. So we have our economic agenda, but not as you say, but as part of European Union, as part of all the world, as part of democratic people. So thank you.
I think it's to you, Zemaida, next.
Definitely speaking, I think that the future of Albania is European Union. So no Balkanization of the Balkans, but Europeanization of the Balkans. I mentioned firstly in my presentation that Albania is in the heart of Europe. So we have the right to be part of Europe in an institutional way or form or how we can call it. It is difficult. You mentioned acquis communautaire. It is difficult not only to adapt laws, but especially to implement laws. It is difficult to implement everything and to qualify for European standards. Reforms. Difficult reforms, because it's not a simple way to go from a centralized market, centralized economy to a market economy. So everything is difficult. But as I mentioned, definitely we have to go. And that's why we mention is a challenge we have to face. Is very difficult, but our future is for sure into EU and into NATO, hopefully.
Anna.
My colleagues almost explain everything. yes, adopting laws, it's true, as my colleague said, it's easy to be prepared, but it's very difficult to be implemented. And okay, harmonization of legislation was not a process of copy and paste. Yeah, of course. It was process of preparation of laws and then modifying those laws according to local needs. Now, we are in the process of implementation and now we are facing many problems. And again, many amendments will follow after those laws, etc., etc. It will be a long process. As concerns the second question about Balkanization, we used to be Yugoslavia. And we as a country, Macedonia, did not start the process of breaking up. Unfortunately, other forces produce what did they produce, and now we are so many independent countries. Maybe we as a country would like to be one Balkan region, but we have so many problems with all neighboring countries, and to be realistic, process of Balkanization and this process of time at this point of time will be very, very difficult. That's why all of us are saying that we look at EU and that we hope that Europeanization will bring to Balkanization. From my personal point of view, yes. As I said previously, I'm an economist and I really do not care whether the border will be here or there. For me, it is important to have a good life and to have high standards of living and to be free, to go everywhere, not to wait in front of all embassies. So, but I'm not asked. Many people are involved and it needs consensus from many political parties, many institutions, many organizations in order that to happen.
Well, let me just say in concluding that I find you all inspiring, and we wish you well in the efforts, as you've just put it so nicely, to not worry about the borders, but to worry about living well. I think we should thank you for your remarks today and for the opportunity to talk with you.